Life sure gets busy, doesn't it? Well, we understand. With all the certifications you have, finding the right kind of continuing education that fits your schedule can be a real challenge. That's where the FlightBridge Ed podcast subscription comes in. For less than $5 a month, the FlightBridge Ed podcast subscription gives you top-notch accredited CE while you listen. Visit FlightBridgeEd.com for more information or to sign up today. The FlightBridge Ed podcast subscription, another way we're being your partner in discovery.
The content of this podcast is based on medical fact and evidence-based practice from credible authoritative sources, but is not a substitute for your institution's policies, procedures, common sense, or good judgment. The views and opinions are those of Eric Bauer and FlightBridge Ed in their entirety. This is the FlightBridge Ed Podcast, critical care and emergency medicine education for nurses and paramedics. Here's your host, Eric Bauer.
Good afternoon. I'm Daniel, career flight paramedic. When y'all heard Mike kind of say all the stuff earlier that I don't like talking about, that's kind of my background. The 501c3, or the 911 Buddy Check Project, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We do crisis intervention, suicide awareness, substance abuse coaching, recovery coaching, life and nutrition, health and wellness stuff for police officers, firefighters, EMTs, dispatchers, and emergency nurses, and of course, air medical. I started this after my partner committed suicide. That's why we call it the 911 Buddy Check Project. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So, we all like type A stuff, right? Especially in air medical. We don our flight suits, our little cool little onesies, have our patches on them. We go to the police departments, put our, you know, our Kevlar on. It becomes who we are. Literally, in air medical, that is our identity. At the fire department, when we introduce ourselves to people, what do we say? Hey, I'm Daniel Mills. I'm a flight paramedic education director. I'm a SWAT medic with City of Helena. I've been a career fire EMS 19 years, right? That's not who we are. Have y'all ever seen, being in the South, y'all ever seen an armadillo get run over? Have you ever looked inside an armadillo? And being from Alabama, we ain't ever eat one. Not that I'd tell you. But inside of that hardened shell is a fragile little animal, right? When I land on scene, this is pretty much what I feel like when I come off a helicopter, right? I did the same thing at the fire department. When we're serving warrants at the police department, I feel the same way. I feel invincible. And a lot of us do. Eckhart Tolle is one of my favorite philosophers. And believe it or not, I love philosophy. I know the Alabama jokes and I'm barefooted. But he said that the ego is identification with form. But what happens when something punches you in the mouth to where this ego, the armor, isn't enough to protect you? Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the face. So Eckhart Tolle talks about the pain body. That's what my trash can says, is the pain body. And we all have one. Life stuff. Childhood trauma, work, life stresses. And that's what it is. It's all that accumulated junk. And I started thinking back to 2002, my very first cardiac arrest at 145 Narrows Drive. And I'm not a savant. I can barely remember what I ate for breakfast. I put that in my pain body. In 2004, the day we elected George Bush into office the second time at Highway 280 and 41, I did a high angle rescue on a little girl and her boyfriend who stole her mom's car. We coded her the entire way up Highway 280. I watched Dr. Sherry Melton crack her chest open. I'd only been on the job about 2 years. On top of my life stuff, having a kid, financial problems. We're all in EMS, so none of us are rich. So we take all this stuff throughout our career, and it doesn't have to be job-related, just like Boomer talked about yesterday with Stay Fit for Duty. and we put it in there. So, like Mike said, this is my yet factor. I've been around the block. I did 8 years in the military. I was a Fleet Marine Force Corpsman with the United States Marine Corps, and probably some of the proudest 8 years of my life. I used to be that arrogant paramedic that come off the helicopter. Nothing could faze me until January 28th of 2015 at 9:15 in the morning. We launched on a quadruple scene flight to a house fire in Shelby County, Alabama. I did like I normally do, just crawled in the ambulance and my entire world shattered. There was a one-year-old little boy laying on the stretcher with 98% full-thickness burns. And for the first time in my career, I couldn't breathe. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I looked at my partner who had been flying for 21 years. Just flying. And she just had this blank look on her face. After a couple of issues with the management of said child, you can see in the picture, I picked him up and ran like hell to the helicopter. We just did everything en route. I was flying with a nurse they called the Pit Viper. That was her nickname. Michelle had been around since the inception of our program. I judged my reactions off of what she was doing. She had a very flat affect. When I got home, I blew up on my wife, who is my best friend, and noticed 19 years of shit was coming out. I was having nightmares. I couldn't sleep. I'd lost confidence in myself to do the very job that since 2002 I wanted to do. For over 2 weeks, I couldn't go to work. And I didn't know what the hell was wrong. I thought I was broken. So, Brené Brown, she wrote Daring Greatly, is one of my favorite authors. It says, shame derives its power from being unspeakable. Post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression, fear is fueled by shame. That same shame that I carried for months because I could not tell the people that I worked with, that I respected, that I looked up to, that I couldn't sleep, that I couldn't eat fried foods, that I checked on my kid constantly to the point he was like, I was driving him up the wall. One thing that made 2015 so hard for me, that was the year I decided to get sober. And in the midst of this, I was tackling a 15-year substance abuse issue. And the shame cloud that was hanging over my head was becoming unbearable. And we all do it. I've counseled thousands of flight crew members, police officers, SWAT team members from NYPD, people that have responded to the Twin Towers on 9/11. And what do we say? I can't tell nobody this. I'll lose my job. This is what I am. This is my identity, that ego with form. One of the most powerful things I ever did was to say that I am not okay. I am drowning and I'm hurting. It wasn't easy. But we take the power away from shame when we stand up and say, I'm not okay. So we have all this stress in our job. The acute stress is the good stress. That's if a bear walks in here right now, that tells you to get my fat ass up and run and beat the slowest person, or I got to trip one of you going out the door. Right? Survival of the fittest. That delayed onset is what my friend Boomer was talking about yesterday, 3 days later, when that call from that drowning reached back and punched him in the throat. We've all had it. Our ego will carry us for a few days. That pride, that uniform, right? Does everybody in here poop? See? We all poop. So we all deal with this. When my wife and I first started dating, she's getting my daughter to sleep right now so I can say this. She'd go to the bathroom and I'd hear the water turn on and the shower and the fan. She'd light a candle. I know you're not in there doing trigonometry. I know what you're doing. But that's how we treat mental health. It's like pooping. We all do it. At one point or another, this job affects us on varying levels. It can be 0 to 10. But then we get into the cumulative stress, the burnout. And we all know someone who is burned out. I've been there. That is a mental health issue. That's where post-traumatic stress. How many of y'all have a call that bothers you over 2 weeks? Like it's been 2 weeks and it bothers you. You know that's a clinical definition for post-traumatic stress? And unless you're a sociopath or you're like Dexter, this job bothers you in one way or another. The kids, the cardiac arrest, all that junk that we constantly just put in our little garbage can and we try to stuff it down for later. What do we say? What are the two words that we say? I'm fine. It's a lie. We go home, take that flight suit off, like my good friend Boomer, and he shared this before, so, you know, he drank himself unconscious. I did it. I used to keep a bottle of Jack Daniels in my nightstand just so I could sleep. That's how I dealt with the cumulative stress of this job. And when I started to realize my mountains were off balance. And with the Buddy Check Project, everybody knows I get pretty hippy-dippy. But with the four mountains, they're kind of like tires on a car. And if one of them gets off balance, it throws the whole car off balance. Spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally, we have to take care of ourselves. The day I flew that little boy to Children's Hospital of Alabama, in Birmingham, I stood on Children's helipad and looked up and I said, there's no way in hell there is a God on this earth that would let something like that happen to a child, and I've not darkened the doors of a church since. I still struggle with it. But one of your mountains gets off mentally, the post-traumatic stress, the anxiety, the depression, the regret, the survivor's guilt. And it throws your emotional side off. And then we go home and we take this junk with us and we share it with our spouses, our friends, our family, and we put it in there. And we think it's all nice and tidy. I was kind of an out loud alcoholic. You could look and see the path that I had paved for myself like a tornado because all of my mountains were off. I drank myself to stage 1 liver failure. I'd gone to the cath lab at 30 years old. Because of shame, because I could not tell somebody this job was affecting me. When we take the power away from shame and we start realizing, hey, spiritually I am not well, mentally I am not well, physically I am not well, emotionally I am not okay. That's where we start to heal. And we all know someone who is dealing with this stuff. The troublemakers, the outliers, the grumpy people, the disgruntled old man that's been there for 30 plus years. Listening to the instructor or the presenters this week, I've seen 5 of them carrying one hell of a pain body. Dr. Antebi was one of them. You can see the pain in their eyes, and they're just trying to go day to day. We have to stop normalizing this job. This job is not normal. I had a police officer call me the other night. And he said, I got a gun in my hand, and what you say in the next 2 minutes is going to determine whether or not I shoot myself in the face. I was like, all right, roll tide. No pressure, right? I was like, cool, man. I said, let's talk. I said, put a region's bank teller in your position on a mediocre call. What would they do? What do you think a bank teller would do? They'd freak the hell out, right? I'm talking about not even a good call. Why are y'all any different? We're not. We're not superheroes. We do a phenomenal job. We do a dangerous job. But at the end of the day, when you're butt naked, sitting on the toilet, you're human. That's our most vulnerable point, right? You look like a bunch of wounded seals. That's what I think of when I see my wife. You know, when you take that flight suit off, you take that uniform off, we're all humans. If this job doesn't affect you, then you're a sociopath or you're lying to yourself. So if you've ever taken a tactical medic course during the care under fire phase, talk about self-aid. If you've been shot, what do? Call out for help. Seek cover. Apply your tourniquets. Get back in the fight. I've been teaching TCCC before it was cool, 15 plus years, before Stop the Bleed was a thing. If you're injured, save yourself. Why don't we do this with mental health? Do you know how many law enforcement officers we've lost to date this year in 2019? 76. We've lost 28 firefighters and 4 EMTs. We've lost over 300 nurses in 3 years to suicide. If we can take little selfies and all this fun stuff that we talk about and nurses getting pissed off about some senator who doesn't affect our lives at all, we can get pissed off about mental health. Because every day I get up and I check the suicide notifications and it's just like a ticker. And it's just like this demon that follows me around every day. And I see just millions and millions of tweets about a damn deck of cards. I get it. My wife's a nurse. My mother was a nurse. And my grandmother was a nurse back when like Florence Nightingale was running around. But let's get pissed off and start setting setting a trend on Twitter. Some shit that matters. 300 nurses? That's unacceptable. Buddy aid, the same thing. If one of your friends gets shot, you're going to do everything within your power to save his life. You will go to hell with a butter knife and a glass of sugar to save their life. But when it comes to mental health, we see our friends drowning in the deep end of the pool and we throw damn rocks on them. And it's not okay. Just because it's not some sexy shit that we can put on Instagram and Facebook, and look, I slayed the Reaper today. I sit with the spouses and the families of these men and women who commit suicide, and they ask me, why? Why didn't they say something? I don't know. When my partner David Ferris committed suicide, his daughter looked at me with her grandkids standing there and said, why? I said, I don't know. I wish I could do something. I don't know. Because it's not sexy and it doesn't piss us off like a deck of cards. So some of the signs and symptoms to look for, reliving the event, flashbacks, upsetting memories, nightmares, emotional numbing. We all have this. Detached feelings, loss of interest in normal activities. That garbage can that keeps getting full. Hopelessness. Irritability. My wife will tell you that's my number one. I get irritable. As big of a hippie as I am, I just get grumpy. I get tired of watching people die all the time. I really do. It sucks. All the kids. I don't, this job's not normal. And this is on our website. Take a picture, send it out. This is the stuff that we have to be addressing. And just because mental wounds aren't the sexy stuff where I can put a picture of the back of my truck or my helicopter on Facebook with, covered in blood. But courage, real courage, starts with showing up and letting ourselves be seen. That's why I do all my lectures barefooted. It's not to be funny. It's that vulnerability. Courage, vulnerability are how we change mental health and talking about it, telling your story, cutting the bullshit and the ego and saying, this job affects me too. You got to figure out your why. My wife and my two kids are the reason that I got sober. The reason I go to counseling when I don't want to go. The reason I stand up in front of thousands of people across the United States and say, hey, I used to be a degenerate alcoholic. How I deal with my day-to-day is my wife and my two kids. They're why I keep fighting, and you got to figure out your why. Because at the end of the day, when you take that suit off, that shield, that armor, you got to have a why. In your darkest, deepest, scariest places, you have to know your why. There's tons of organizations out there, the 911 Buddy Check Project, Firefighter Behavioral Health Alliance, Stay Fit for Duty, Behind the Badge New Mexico, Next Run, tons of organizations. There's absolutely no reason for another suicide or another one of our brothers and sisters losing their job to substance abuse, to alcoholism, to anxiety, depression, any of this stuff that we deal with. I will stand in the fire with you. I've been there. I know how it feels. But you have to know your why. Why you'll pick up that phone and call a friend like Boomer has Katie. He said, bro, I'm not okay. Boomer is mine and my wife. I'll call him and say, hey, man, I'm really struggling right now. It's been a shitty week at work. It's that easy. If we can get this pissed off about a deck of cards and this social media age that we live in and we post selfies and all our drama on Facebook, you can ask for help. And if you don't have any friends, I'll be your friend. That is my personal cell phone number. 205-356-2861. It is on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And we will get you help. That's our address or our email address and our website. Don't let pride and ego send you down a dark path. In 2016, I took 1 year off from the helicopter to get my stuff together, to heal. Because you cannot heal in the same environment you got sick in. At the end of the day, take care of yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If you don't know how, call me. I can tell you. I can walk you through the process because I promise you, I had to rebuild my life. It is that simple. No egos. You will not be judged. You will not be talked about because there will be a time and a place to where this comes back. Mine was on I-85 intubating an 11-year-old kid the day before the Iron Bowl, the Auburn-Alabama game in 2016, when mine said, we're done. And I went and got help. Call me. All right, there's tons of people out there. Do not fight this battle alone because you're not alone. Thank y'all.
This has been a production of the Flight Bridge Ed Podcast, leading the way in pre-hospital critical care and emergency medicine education.